Tonight, and a lot of you don't realize we've slowly crept into this, but in December I started, as a continuation of our 12 by 12 class, something I'm calling the Elements of Biblical Interpretation. I'm going to go by all this. I already have done this with another group at 5. There we go. Elements of Biblical Interpretation, and basically it's this concept. For over the past 40 years, professionally, all I've done is study the Bible to understand what it means and to teach it. And interpretation is the study of the meaning so that you can explain the Bible. And there are elements that make up biblical interpretation. If you have, let's say that this is a text, this word Bible geography, there are elements that help you understand what the text means. It is God communicating, and if we understand, say, the geographic element, that's only one element. If you understand the cultural element, that's just still another element. And some people labor through texts of the scripture, but they haven't realized that there's a geographic component and that there is a cultural component, there's a historical component, and this is one we all know about, there's the linguistic, the unique biblical languages. But if you study the language without understanding the culture, you know, just think language and culture, the history, and then this would be the geography, those elements are each a piece. For this reason, the best way to understand the Bible, I remember when I went to seminary, they said that people, let's say in Kalamazoo in 2013 are right here, and there's a big gulf between them and the people in Corinth in, AD 56. And that gulf has to be bridged. Biblical interpretation is building a bridge that takes you from the 21st century back to whatever part of the Bible you're looking at to understand the implications of where. Bible geography answers the question of where. And everything happened somewhere. And see, that's the unique part about geography, that it localizes the event. The history tells you when it was that it happened. The culture is such a unique thing. It often can tell you a lot about the how it happened, because if you're talking about a marriage ceremony in the first century, if that marriage ceremony is in Rome, it's one way. If it's in, some other uncivilized part of the world, it's a different way. And if it's in Israel, it's the Jewish way. And then this, and of course, this is the language. You know, people love to do Bible study and word study, but many of them do not really understand the cultural component, the historical grid that immediately brings so much to pass. For example, this morning, think about the Roman province of Asia, and they're listed which ones he was writing to. And if you understand the history of that area, it gives a whole new dimension. And then, as we'll see tonight, and this is all we're seeing tonight, the biblical geography is vital. So, as our elements of biblical interpretation are this: to build a bridge between where we are and where the scriptural passage took place in location and time, to build that bridge, we have to realize that there are these valleys between where we are here and where we want to get. And the valleys right here that have to be bridged, there are four of them. There is this valley or gap of history, because they lived in a very different time in the Bible. In fact, I was watching with my children a movie made from a book that I had to read my sophomore year in high school. I mean, that was back when we rode to school on horses. It was, I think, I don't know how to pronounce his name, the Jurassic Park man, Crichton or Crichton or whatever his name is, but it was his first book, and we had to read it in high school. We watched that movie, and it almost made my kids pass out. It took 5 minutes for something in a modern movie would take 15 seconds and it would explode or something, you know. Everything is so slow the further back in time you go, and we don't realize that. We've been conditioned to this staccato lifestyle. They lived in a very different time. They lived in a time of reflection, a time of hard work, a time of bounded from sun up to sunset. So there's the gap of history that needs to have a bridge built if we want to fully understand and interpret correctly the text. Secondly, there's the gap or the valley that they lived in a very different place. In fact, tonight I'm going to show you how much the geography of the Bible impacts the communication of the Bible. In fact, Jerome, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jerome, the Catholics call him Saint Jerome, but he's the one that wrote out what was the very important Latin translation of the Bible, the Vulgate. The Vulgate was a product of a man who, in the third century, lived in a cave in Bethlehem. Now, he wasn't a caveman, he just was a monk, and he was living in that cave, and he was a genius. And he translated the Bible from Greek and Hebrew into Latin for the people, for the church. And Latin was the legal language of the Roman Empire. And so when Jerome got all done with that translation, he said, the land, the Holy Land, the land of Israel, is the fifth gospel. And what he was saying is that we read the four gospels to get this beautiful, you know, surround sound kind of stereophonic view of Christ. But he said, overlaying all that is the geography, which illumines so much what was going on. The third gap that has to be bridged is the gap of culture. They lived in a very different way than we do. I remember a few Christmases ago, I told you, if you read the Christmas story, it says that Joseph was minded to privily put away his wife because he was betrothed to her, but he had not yet known her. And it's wife and betrothed and what? And they lived in a very different way. Their culture was very different than ours. And sometimes, that's an excuse, by the way. A lot of people with hard parts of the Bible, for example, the part about Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 11, the headship in the family of the man, that the man is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and all that, they say, oh, that's cultural. Well, what's real interesting is we don't use culture as a way to get around hard parts of the Bible. We use it to illumine the hard parts of the Bible. And I've mentioned this, I won't say his name tonight, but there's this fella that talks about the seven levels, that every passage of the Bible has seven levels. And, you know, there's the Jewish level, and then there's this Greek level, and there's this, I mean, and he does this, and he makes it sound like you can pick whatever interpretation you want depending on the level. And that's not true. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is each of them is a bridge between their world and ours that helps us to understand. But God only said one thing, not seven. It's not like seven flavors of what he says. And then there's the gap of language. They spoke in a very different language. So this evening, biblical history is what we've studied already in December. We looked at the Bible was set in real history, and that is archaeologically verifiable. And we did that in December and in January. And we looked at the biblical framework. And just to give you an example, the whole, like the minor prophets, everything, there's a structure historically to everything. There are nine minor prophets that are pre-exilic. That means before Israel was exiled, and three that are post-exilic. And that is the same as in the historic books. There are 12 minor prophets. There are also 12 historic books. And nine of them are before the exile, and three of them are after the exile. And you would know them as Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther. Those three books are from after the exile, and these are before the exile. That is part of biblical history. That makes a big difference. When you're reading Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, you're not reading about the time of the kings. You're not reading about the time of the theocracy. You're reading about a time that is blending into the intertestamental period before the New Testament. And so there's so much about biblical history that is fascinating to help us interpret the Bible correctly. And so the underlying truth is the Bible that we hold tonight is set in real history. I mean, it's not like the Book of Mormon. You can't verify so much of the Book of Mormon. I mean, it's kind of like science fiction or whatever that has no verifiable geographic, historic anything. The Bible, every bit of it that's ever been challenged is archaeologically verifiable. I mean, and we've done this before, and I could go on and on about how much it's been verified. Biblical geography, which is where we are tonight, is that the Bible portrays literal geographic places. Now, there's an intersection with geography. For example, I've told you that Sir William Ramsay wanted to find the places in Acts because he didn't believe the Bible, and he wanted to prove the Bible was wrong. And so he set out across the ancient world in modern Turkey, and he walked as far as it says in the book of Acts that Paul